Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
I don't know why, but my brain went to starting to do the closing whenever I said that. I was like, wait, that's why there was a hesitation there. I was like, wait, that's not right. That's not right. Moving on. So we are recording on National Coming Out Day, October 11th. So what we're going to do today is I pulled up some Reddit feeds, and we're gonna look at some other people's coming out stories and talk about them, and then we'll talk about some other stuff too. But before we do that, I do want to show you something that I just saw on TikTok that I thought was hilarious. So I'm gonna share the screen and I'm going to play this video for you. Share with sound.
Oh my god.
What do you need for painting?
Pussy pillio heyo.
Girl, cancel the flight.
Oh my god.
That was it. She has a couple of videos where one of them is just the AI thing laughing at her because I guess it's so bad. I don't really even know. I'm assuming it wasn't great, but
yeah, that pronunciation was not good.
Yeah. But I saw that earlier and I was like, ooh, that'll be funny to talk about when we get on the podcast.
I mean, not to mention that the thing said Sarah as well. So.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I did want to share is I can now officially say it on the podcast. I have gotten a new position and I am moving to California in January. So that's exciting. I'm excited to move into a new role and get back over to California. I've been missing California for a really long time now, and Ryan and I are going to move at the end of December and be all set up in the beginning of January around our birthdays.
Love that. My mom told me to tell you that she needs a Mama D clause in there to come and visit you whenever she wants to.
She's always welcome to come and visit me. She did message me and say how proud she was of me.
That's because I was catching her up on everything.
No. Well, would you like to jump into some of these? So what I did was just kind of search on Reddit for coming out stories. And there are a couple of posts that are like, can you share your coming out stories? The good, the bad, and the surprising. And then there's another one that's, what's your coming out story? If you're closeted, why can't you come out? And I figured we could just go through and look at some of the interesting or more funny comments. And I will say not everyone's coming out story is the same. Like, we've talked about our coming out stories on here, and I think I've said it before. I didn't really come out. It was just kind of like I just was and started like introducing family and friends to the people that I was dating. So it was like, I am who I am. And my thing is, I am who I am. If you don't like it, then you don't need to be part of my life. That's fine with me. That's my take on it. And it's like that will just open up another space for someone that is more important and shares the same beliefs that I do. If you're not in my life taking up space that they could be taking up.
I mean, yeah.
So fun stuff. So I found, I can just go through like the very first one that's on here. And it says, so this is from the post. Can you share your coming out stories, the good, the bad, and the surprising? In late 2019, my cousin and I were stuck up in a hotel room in Montana together, bored out of our minds. To pass the time, she asked me if she could do my makeup. But since I was still trying to cling onto my quote unquote masculinity, I said no. 1 hour of me thinking about it later, and I asked her, did you still want to do my makeup? She happily agreed. And as soon as the brush hit my face, I started crying. And I told her, I think I'm trans. She hugged me, said it was okay, and the rest is history. That's a sweet story.
It is.
And that was by Tollum 00.
So I wanted to read the little bit from the person who posted the question. Their name is Bitter-Giraffe. And it says, I feel really small at the moment, like I'm so far away from taking my next steps. In all honesty, I want to live vicariously for a little bit. And I get that. You are seen. But as far as a comment, I really want to read Tommy_Bakes. In 2011, I finally decided to come out to my parents after 7 years of questioning and discovering who I was. I was 19 years old. I distinctly remember being asked to give them time to wrap their heads around this. A few days later, they blocked my car in the driveway, locked me in the living room with them, sitting in a wooden chair in the middle of the room while they lectured and berated me for over an hour. They told me how wrong and disgusting I was, how it was a fetish, how they've never seen anything in my life to this point. They insisted I explain where they, quote unquote, failed as parents to make me turn out this way, along with so many horrible things I don't want to relive. In 2013, I moved out of state to transition. I detransitioned, and here 10 years after the fact, I hate myself for stopping, and I'm starting to transition again.
And then this person, their name is deleted, bracket in brackets. It's deleted. I don't know if that means that their profile is deleted or that's their profile name, but it says, only came out to my mom. If you could even consider it coming out, I've never used the word trans. Went sort of like this. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I really want to be a man. And she said, do you think you might be possessed? Came out of nowhere and made me feel like shit. We aren't even religious. Still don't understand it, but she's very supportive and chill about it. As long as I don't hurt myself, of course, in quotes. And hurt myself is in quotes. Interesting. I think the other thing that we can talk about is the fact that the Supreme Court is pretty much primed to rule that the ban on conversion therapy is considered a First Amendment right. It's against the First Amendment of a psychologist. So there's a few conversion bans that they're potentially going to rule are unconstitutional, which doesn't make any sense, because if you can say that the ban on transgender treatment is not constitutional, but conversion therapy is constitutional, then there's something wrong with your court, and it's no longer relevant and no longer actually nonpartisan
for the people.
Yeah,
since the majority, it's only the minority of people that are so radically right to want all these things in place, and
I just don't understand how you can see the scientific evidence that shows that conversion therapy is dangerous to people because it causes them to have even more body dysmorphia than they already have, and has a higher chance of leading them to a suicide because they're having conflicting information sent to them. They're being told that they're not worth it, that they're less than, there's something wrong with them, when just giving them the treatment that they need to help them better understand who they are and what their brain is telling them is the better option than forcing them to say, no, that's not true. I do understand that there are some times when there are some people who aren't 100% sure, and that's part of their identity, and that's part of the Q in questioning or queer and the LGBTQIA+ acronym. But that doesn't obviously mean that you can force that information onto everyone, and it should be that person is the one that's making the decision to go through that type of therapy. It should never be forced by their parents, never should be forced by anyone from like their church, their community. That person should be the one that makes the decision about their body and about whatever they go through. That's just my stance.
I agree.
I'm not saying it's okay, but I see the need for a type of therapy that is like helping someone understand who they are, but conversion therapy that's like you're being forced to understand a societal norm is not okay.
Right.
But I did want to talk about that because I know it's like, it's coming out day or National Coming Out Day. And we have a couple of other, this is also LGBTQ History Month as well. October is LGBTQ History Month. So those are all some things that are happening recently that are, that need to be talked about. Oh, here's another one that I found that's by someone that's, I'm assuming their account is deleted because it's another one that says deleted in brackets. And it says, I can't come out because my parents are extremely homophobic Catholics. My plan is to either wait till I get into college and go no contact or go live with my grandfather in Skokie if life at my parents' house gets unbearable. There is a part of me that hopes my parents will change their views, but there's very little chance of that.
I'm trying to find a happier one. I do like this one.
Are you by a dryer or something?
Yes, I'm drying. I'm drying my clothes. I don't know why it's so loud. Oh,
very loud.
I don't know why.
Can you pause that while we're recording?
Yes. Give me 1 second.
Okay. How's everybody doing? Sarah's going to go pause the dryer because it's very loud. I can hear it. You all probably can hear it. I wonder if even just closing the door will help. So we'll see.
You may also still hear bumps and bangs because there are children who live upstairs. Anyway. Okay, this one is kind of funny to me. Pseudonymico said, when my ex and I came out to our small children, it turned out they'd figured he was the boy and I was the girl the whole time. So that was nice. I love that.
Oh, here's one that's from Gamer Talk, Gamer TOC. Don't know if it's necessarily funny, but I came out to my former flatmates via text because we were already spread out in the world. So that was actually the most convenient way. About a year later, I learned that two of them were gay and one is bi, and they were known as the gay flat in school, boarding school. I graduated 2 years before them, so all of that happened after I was gone. Made me realize I was worried about nothing. This one's touching underscore payants, PAYANTS. And it says, when I told my mom, she laughed and said, honey, we know. I'm looking at a different one. I'll send it to you now. And it's what is your funniest coming out stories? If you want to find some that are a little bit lighter. Because a lot of those, especially that one, because it's specifically on r/asktransgender. So like those might be a little darker, which are valid and people need to hear them as well. But if we want to keep it upbeat and light, this person, it's posted on r/asklgbt from no_somewhere9961. And it's just, what is your funniest coming out story?
Let me get it pulled up here.
So while she's doing that, or while Sarah's doing that, I'm going to read this next one. It's called, it's from Felish. I wore a could be gayer t-shirt to a family brunch with no forewarning. It was hilarious to watch everyone who didn't already know have visible question marks on their face. Luckily, I know most of my family would be chill. A few asked me about it in private later, and everyone else was all right and moved on. Was like, all right, and moved on.
I like... I just saw the one that you previously read about the mom laughing, saying we know.
Yeah.
My grandma realistically, this is from Moth Whimsy. Sorry. My grandma realistically found out years before I came out, but just never said anything. At some point, I used her computer to check Facebook and didn't log out when I was done. This shouldn't have been a problem because my grandma didn't have Facebook. However, at this point, she clicked a link for a free coupon at a local restaurant, which redirected her to their Facebook page, which caused her to see my name and names of other people she knew, my friends, which made her assume we'd written reviews, so she clicked them. Except these weren't reviews, these were my Facebook messages. So she texts me all shocked and confused because she thinks local restaurant has recorded me, ? and stolen my private conversations and posted them online, ? And I'm like, Mei, no, you're logged into my Facebook account and she's just not getting it. Eventually, I get her to log out, but the whole time I'm panicking because she's reading / has read my messages with my boyfriend. And I've talked about being bi on there. Like the day before this happened, I said something like, I can't focus because I'm gay. She definitely saw that, but she never brought it up. So we'll never know.
That's hilarious. Damage Adventurous 540s posted, for some background, I'm a 50-something gay man who came out when I was in college in the early 90s. I've been with my husband since the mid-90s. We became foster parents in 2000 and eventually adopted two sons. I've been out to pretty much everyone since I was 19. There are people in their late 30s who weren't born when I first came out, which is how long it's been. That doesn't necessarily need to be there. That said, here is my favorite coming out story. I was driving around with my youngest son one day. He was young at the time, probably 5 or 6. I really don't know how it came up, but he started yammering about gay people because why wouldn't he? I was like, you realize I'm gay, right? He jolted upright, looked at me with this incredulous look. Does Mark know? I told him that Mark had a pretty good idea. And Mark, you know, is the husband.
Yep.
It's funny.
I love this one by Administration Far 586. When I was 11, my grandma, who was 60 at the time, was looking after me. And before bed, I asked her if she would still love me as a dinosaur and started crying. And she told me I was too young. Oh my goodness. You know what? I love being gay.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. frequently people are assuming I'm a lesbian. I'm not. I'm a trans man and bisexual. This is by Neither Package 7393. Haven't had the good fortune to be in this space where I can medically transition, so I'm often recutting myself if I want to be gendered properly. I don't know what that means. Recutting myself. Reouting. Oh, I don't know why the O looks like a C to me. Reouting myself if I want to be gendered properly. That said, probably the time that I came out and then somebody in my social circle came out with the same name I was using. Or the time somebody asked if because I was bisexual, I had both a vagina and a penis. Both of these were during the mid 2010s.
Oh my God.
And then the original poster said, dumb joke question. Don't get offended. Did you lose your membership to the girls only, no boys allowed clubhouse because you're now a boy, meaning you can finally get a membership at the Boys Only No Girls Club now.
Okay.
And then they followed that up with, the asterisk is because I'm bi gender. They don't let me in either club.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, I switched over to what's your coming out story. If you're closeted, why can't you come out? To see what was going on over there. And so this one is by Nervous-Original 8775. I've typed this before on another post a while back, but I always love to share it. I discovered I was a lesbian about 2 years ago. is pretty recent. However, I was in denial for 10 years. It's pretty long, I know. I lived in a very religious household growing up. I even believed the crazy ideologies they would preach. It wasn't until I moved out into my dorm at uni I decided to find myself. I haven't came out to my mom yet. The only people that know are my two sisters and my younger cousin. They're pretty supportive of me. However, I plan to tell my mom once I move out. I know she's going to be disappointed and sad low-key. It's going to hurt a lot, but I want to be ready when that happens. And one of the reasons that I like that is because I get it. I've been there. I've done that. Finding out you're a lesbian after a really long time. Weird, weird sensation. Don't recommend it.
This one is from Devs with three V's and a Z. I came out at 25, first as bi, but I'm 31 now and have come to the conclusion that I'm very much a homosexual, LOL. People ask me if I was gay before I even knew what it was, and I guess something stubborn in me didn't want everyone to be right, so I denied it and had myself convinced I was straight. I wasted a lot of time miserable and lying to myself, hurting no one but me. When I finally started to allow those feelings to happen instead of running from them, I realized maybe I wasn't so straight. And as soon as I told some people, it was like a weight was lifted off of me that I didn't even realize I'd been carrying. My biggest regret is forcing myself into the closets for so many empty years. That's a great, like, realization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This person said, their username is 17-40. Not long after my egg cracked, some part of my brain created an imperative. I have to wear a dress outside. That led to me telling a few close family, which cascaded into everyone I know. No regrets, 24/7 dresses now. And I love that.
This is from asleep leg 56. I'm like half in the closet ? At my school, if someone asks if I'm bi, I'll tell them I'm bi. I only ever brought up that, like, that I liked women twice, once in the context of just wanting to tell a close friend at school, and once in the context of being at a pride event with my school friend. My parents don't know, but again, if they ask, I'd tell them. My swim team doesn't know, and I'd consider myself actively in the closet around them because I doubt they'd be accepting, and I really don't want to risk any WLW, our predators. Oh, women loving women are predators. Stereotyping going on as we share locker rooms and hotel beds, and I have only a year left with them anyway. Thankfully, my school and swim team are fairly far removed from each other. Well, that's good. It's weird, though. What swim team are you in that isn't part of your school?
Right.
Strange. Well.
Well.
Is there anything else you want to talk about today? It could be a very short one.
It could be. I'm moving in 4 days.
Oh, yeah, that's exciting. Sarah's moving. I'm moving eventually, but Sarah gets to move much earlier, much closer sooner. Than I do, sooner than I do.
I can't believe that it's already been a month.
Yeah.
It's wild.
October seems to have gone by extremely fast.
Right. I feel like, and I don't know.
I say that and it's not even over yet. I think I'm in September.
I mean, September did go really fast. I feel like it was September and then it wasn't September anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I blinked and it was gone. But yeah, and it's crazy. I'm very excited. I'm nervous, obviously, because I haven't lived alone in a while. And I've never lived alone for, like, really long periods of time. Like a few months at a time, yes, but a whole year and something, no. Because I signed a 15 month lease.
Oh, yikes. I mean, I don't really move whenever I live. Like, we've lived in this place for 4 years now.
Four.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I don't plan on moving again for a while, and it was the cheaper option to go the longer amount.
Yeah.
So
the only place that I lived in for less than a year was the place in Bloomington when we moved back to Indiana. For it was literally less than a year. It was like, I want to say 8 months that we had in our apartment.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like 7 or 8 months. It was not very long.
No, and I hated that apartment. It was horrible.
I know.
It was a terrible layout. It had horrible lighting. The kitchen and living room were like a U shape. So like the living room was here and then you had to like go around the corner and there was the kitchen. It was
I hated it. It was a very odd layout.
I don't know that you ever went to that apartment.
Yeah, I did. Sam and I both did.
Oh. I don't remember that.
Yeah, because we were all there for my birthday. Hmm. Right before you moved.
Hmm. But even like the townhouse that we have, the very first townhouse that I had when I moved to Bloomington from my dad's, I had that for 2015, and then I ended the lease in 2020. So 5 years.
Yeah.
I stick where I live because I don't like to move.
I don't like to move either. And I've been doing a lot of it.
Yeah.
And that was the other reason that I was like, Let me not.
I'm just not a huge fan of moving. I would like to have someone else do it for me. And I think what we're going to do is probably get rid of a lot of the stuff that we have here. Cause like a lot of the furniture that we have is not necessary that we take with us. And it's very replaceable.
Right.
And like, we're probably going to take the mattresses that we have, but not the bed frames because I don't like either of the bed frames that we have.
That's fair.
And it's like they're just in the way anyway. Even the new one that we just bought, I hate it. It's like I spent way too little money on it. So it's very cheaply made and it was terrible to put together. Mm. And like, I don't know. Did I tell you about it? There's supposed to be at the end of it. There's like a shelf or not a shelf, but a drawer that goes in and goes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the way that the drawer is designed, it's split in the middle, so there's like a basket over here and a basket over here, but it's made for a queen size bed, not a king size bed, because there's support beams that are like a couple inches on the inside of where the drawer is supposed to go in and go out. So the drawers don't even go in all the way.
Oh my God.
They're sticking out like 8 inches because they don't go in all the way. And then there were so many of the holes that were not, like, they drilled the hole into the wood before they put the fabric on it. So I had to, like, cut through the fabric to screw in the, like, support brackets and stuff. So I had to cut a new hole.
Yep, I got that. I got
very, very cheaply made, so I'm not taking it with me. Over the next couple of days need to start cleaning, or the next month or so need to start cleaning some boxes and stuff up and throwing them away.
Yeah, I've got I'm obviously gonna take like my desk and my chair because those are pretty easy to transport. I'm not worried about those. Part of me wants to like get a whole new bed. But then part of me is like, that's so expensive and I could spend that money elsewhere.
Yeah.
But like, I just kind of want a new bed.
Yeah. I mean, one
for a while.
We got a new bed when we moved from California to Indiana, and then we just got this new bed that we have here. It is nice to get a new bed. I will say it's not super expensive.
That's true. It's not as expensive as it could be, but
and mattresses have gotten a lot more affordable recently. And they're not crazy mattresses.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to say I watched the new Megan 2.0, because it's on, I think it's on Peacock is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty funny. I liked it a lot. I did find it a little bit redundant and unnecessary, but it was funny. And it was cool to see what they did with the robot. And how they changed the... There's two of them now, and they're fighting each other, basically.
Okay.
And, well, one of them was, like, it was built by the United States government based on the same, like, parameters of the original Megan. And it did the same thing where it kind of went rogue on its own and started, like, killing people just to kill people.
Okay. All right. So,
it was interesting, and it was very much like it turned the girl that was building that, like, came up with Megan into, like, very anti-AI and anti-AI and, like, really pushing for AI regulation, which I agree there does need to be more AI regulation. But some of it, it's like, that's a little far-fetched and a little crazy, but I could see where it's possible. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting movie. I don't, like, it wasn't great. It wasn't good by any means, but it was funny.
Okay, that's what matters. It's, as long as it's entertaining, that's what matters.
And there was a new dance, so.
There we go.
Well, are you doing anything fun this weekend?
No, not really. I'm gonna get a jump start on school, because the second half of my semester, it begins on Wednesday. And
what are your next classes?
One is a library class, and one is an intro to Korean culture. So I'm gonna get a jump start on those and continue packing up my stuff and throwing stuff away.
That's good. I am... Oh, my next class starts next week, too.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, the 15th. It starts on the 15th, the day that you move into your new place. Day do you get your new place. The 15th
for me as well.
And I did get the notification, not the notification, but I went and looked, and my grade point average is back to 4.0.
Woot woot.
It was only at like a 3.7 something, so it wasn't bad anyway, but it's back up to a 4.0 now with that extension course. And they said that it was going to cost me like $500. It only ended up costing me $298.
Oh, that's not bad.
And I'm not going to say anything.
Valid. I forgot to mention that my English teacher that last week.
Oh yeah. Did anything come of that?
We had a meeting and she was just like, you have to, she said, these are the things that I look at for AI, and it's people with expansive vocabularies. Like, I guess the words I'm using are too advanced, which I think is weird because it's a
writing class
degree. Like, yeah, this is for a writing class. It's for a bachelor's degree, but I guess I'm too, I don't know. Anyway, so I explained to her. I was just like, look, I've been reading since I was 4 years old. I'm 37. I have read the dictionary. I have read the encyclopedias. Like, these are things I have done. I've been reading at a college age level since I was 10. Words are everything to me. So, like, Obviously.
I think, like, my question would be, okay, I get that there's words in there that a typical college student may not use, but are they being used in the right context? Does the sentence structure make sense, and does the content included in the word, the words that I'm using, make sense for the content that I'm creating? And if the answer is yes, then how can you tell me that it's definitely AI? And if you don't, like, if you've seen it as the same thing through all of my writing, you can't tell me it's AI just because of your own personal belief. Unless you have something that shows me where it's generated and it said this was made by AI, then you making it a personal, like, decision, you can't do that. Like, there has to be a report showing that it was reviewed and something came out and said, these are the reasons that this is AI.
Yeah, no. The other thing was, I guess a couple of my sentences were too short. And I asked double questions at the end of a post. But I was like, it's a discussion board. That's what we're supposed to do, is ask questions.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be about discussion, which involves question and answer.
I was always told that I couldn't, like, I wouldn't receive credit if I didn't ask questions and further the conversation.
Right. Like, that's the whole point of a discussion board.
I hate discussion boards. They drive me nuts.
I also hate discussion boards.
They never further my information that I have. And it's just like, to me, it's just a way for you to collaborate with your other students in your class to get, like, feedback on content. And I'm like, I don't usually need feedback because I don't care what they think.
Right.
Like, I'm writing it for me. I'm not writing it for them.
Right. I write it for both because I like to listen to other people's thoughts and ideas. But I like to listen to other people's thoughts and ideas because I'm a creative, and he's looking at me like I'm crazy, which I am crazy, but I'm a creative. So that's the whole point of creativity, like, is discussion and seeing it from another perspective.
Yeah.
So, like,
and I mean, I would understand it if it was like the person, like the people in my class were doing the same thing. And it was like, I was peer to peer. I understand peer to peer review. I'm not saying it's not necessary. I'm just saying, based on the discussion boards that I've done in the past, one, either people never comment on mine, or two, their comments have nothing to do with what I wrote. So they don't actually further the conversation with me, and they don't add to anything that I'm doing. So really, to me, it's just a waste of time, and it's something that I have to do because it's part of the course requirements.
Right.
Hate it. Never understood it. Never thought it would be something that I had to do, but it's always required because it's an online class.
Yep.
Have you looked into, like, appealing your grades?
No, and the only reason I didn't is because I managed to pass.
Oh, okay.
If I had failed, yes, absolutely. But I managed to pass.
I would even still look into it because, like, if she's doing that to you, then she could be doing it to other people. And it
I
needs
submitted
to be
a formal complaint.
Okay, I was gonna say it needs to be reviewed.
Yeah, I did submit a formal complaint along with, like, screenshots and everything. But, like, as far as going through a whole appeals process, I'm too tired for that shit.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when I think it is okay to be the quote-unquote Karen for it. And this is one of those times when it's like, this is not okay. And if it continues to happen, then it's going to cause other students and learners to suffer when it's a bias that she has and something that is, like, her own criteria. If the school has that criteria, then it's different. And, like, I mean, I would even argue that the school would need to look at that criteria. But if it's this specific instructor's criteria and it's not defined anywhere in the school handbook or the grading rubric, then she can't grade based on that criteria. Regardless of what she feels and what she thinks, unless she has it written into the student handbook and the grading rubric or the grading criteria, she can't grade based on that. That's right. Not how this works. Like, you have a specific thing that you were supposed to look at. Yes, there is some subjectivity when it comes to grading about whether the content covered or was expansive enough. But from a content specific, especially if it's a creative writing assignment, you can't really grade it the way that she's grading it based on what we've talked, what you've told me. Like, to me, it's completely subjective and against, I'm assuming, what the rubric says, just based on like what I know based on my experience and as a person that creates rubrics and curricula for training and learning items. You can't really go based off of someone else's criteria. If you don't know the criteria is there, you can't go off of that. It's just like whenever I had my issue with my school where I had to go do the extension course because, and part of it was because I didn't know how long the page, like how, what the page content or page count needed to be for my chapter one and chapter two. And the fact that one of them was required, it was supposed to be like 8 to 10 to 15 pages. And the other one was supposed to be 25 plus or 20 to 25 pages. And it was nowhere in any rubric or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't know that if it's not in my grading requirements. And then I did find out it is in the student handbook, which I never look at. I don't understand student handbooks, but she was like, no, you're right. It should also be in your rubric or your assignment. And it's nowhere in any of the assignments. Like, if that's part of the assignment, then it should be in the assignment. I shouldn't have to go to my student handbook to find that. It should be in the rubric.
There's a page count. Why would it be in the student handbook anyway? Because the student handbook's just supposed to be like general rules of practice.
So this is a little different for a doctorate course because it's student handbook specifically for the doctorate course. It's not like the general student handbook.
Okay.
So it does have like extra information that's specific to a doctorate program. So like that, I did understand. And I was like, okay, I understand that it's here. I should have looked at that. I will own that. But I also feel like as a student, it should also be in the rubric, especially if the rubric is supposed to be my guide for what I'm supposed to be putting in, or at least include it in the template that you provide.
Right.
It should say it somewhere outside of the student handbook.
Outside of the student handbook. I agree.
Well, anything else you want to do? You want to talk about before we call it a podcast?
No, I think that's it. I think we can call it a podcast.
I am feeling a little bit better. I still have a little bit of a cough and there's some minor congestion, but I am feeling a little bit better. This cold has been 2 weeks going and it's a pain in the neck.
I was going to say, it sounds like a pain.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you'd like this episode, please give us a like, comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. We're not very active, but our handle is at Now About That Pod, so we don't come up in the search and we're not on that platform. You can feel free to send us an email. I just sent that, didn't I? No, send us an email. Our email is nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on Monday. Enjoy your Labor Day?
No, Labor Day was last month.
Oh, what is it?
Tomorrow's Monday's Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, Indigenous Peoples Day. So for those of you that get that day off, enjoy Indigenous Peoples Day, or as a lot of people still call it, Columbus Day. I refuse to refer to it that way. I didn't even realize it was a thing until someone said, we're closed on Monday. I was like, why? It's Monday.
Yeah, it's a federal holiday.
Hey, well, Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.